Welcome back to Table Talk. Pull your chair back up to the table. Have a seat. It's good. It's good. It's good for you. Go ahead, take it and eat it, the devil says to Eve. Well, the Christian finds himself in a similar situation. He's got people speaking in both ears, if you will. And sometimes the governing authority in this particular matter, and Brent, you pointed out some examples where people are really saying, you know, the homosexual right is good. It's good. It's good. And to say otherwise is evil.
Right.
Well, the Christian really finds himself between two authorities, if you will. And who's he going to listen to? Or better yet, what's the truth in this matter? What is good? Is the homosexual life, is that good for you? Is that good for your neighbor? Do you listen to the governing authorities and those that are pushing this as a civil right? Or do you listen to the Word of God? And here is where the Christian hears the Word of God and says, Amen. This is true. Even though the whole world would say differently, this is true. This is what God says is good for me and for my neighbor. And here I stand, if you will. But then there'll be consequences for that, temporal, earthly consequences.
Yeah, and I think I was trying, that was one of the points I was trying to make, and I don't know if I made it very well. But yeah, there will be consequences. And you know, it'll be more, in my opinion, more of just being labeled homophobic. But you will be considered to be, you'll be a criminal. And therefore, you will have to be punished as a criminal. Just like racists must be punished as criminals. But see, that's a whole different ballgame. God's word is clear about racism. We are not to be racists. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a no-brainer.
Right.
So, you know, you're right. I'm glad you brought all that up. And I want to just maybe ask another question. I mean, just humanly speaking, when gay activists invoke the civil rights movement of the 50s and 60s, you know, what they're doing is they're putting a large amount of legal sanctions, an ever-expansive bureaucratic power, and a well-established tradition of social censure behind their activism. And what it does here is they're trying to put the raw power of the state into effect over absolutely everything so that it's all-encompassing. What I'm trying to say is that when you co-opt the language that it's a civil rights issue, then you are also saying that the gay agenda must be it must be adopted by every aspect of culture, not just in privately in your own home, not just in the workplace, like in, you mentioned Omaha and Lincoln with their hiring practices in the city government.
This is woven into the fabric,
right,
of society,
and therefore the church will have to get on with this agenda. So, you know, if a lesbian couple comes to you, Scott, and then asks to be married, and you say, no, I can't do that because that would be displeasing to God, and then you'd say, look, I've got a word of God that I'd like you to hear, and I want you to lead you to repentance so that you can be forgiven, and then try as best you can with the help of the Holy Spirit and God's help to amend your sinful life. That just can't happen here when they're trying to make it a civil rights issue. That simply will not be allowed. You will not be allowed to be a pastor to these people. The church will not be allowed to do its work, which is to properly distinguish between the law and the gospel, and so that when the law is applied and does its work, you will not be allowed to deliver the promise of the gospel, the forgiveness of sins. This will simply be not allowed. You see how antichrist this is? It will not be allowed. So this raw power of the state is being invoked here. No, I'm convinced there will be, you will have no dissent in this matter. And there will be no individual rights, whether that's humanly speaking individual rights or whether that would be a clause that would say, well, because of our religious views, there would be an exception. See, Canada is discussing this. They've been discussing this for a long time here. And I haven't heard lately what the Canadian Supreme Court ruled. But you know, on this whole issue that we're talking about, there used to be an exemption for clergy. Well, that's up for grabs now up there. And when you have Supreme Court justices in the United States who no longer rule according to the rule of law of the Constitution of the United States, but rather look at other countries' court rulings, Well, I got news for you, folks. We're in for some rough sledding. Again, I'm going to repeat. The whole goal here is to eliminate any kind of individuality, no dissent. You have to get with the entire agenda here, or else.
You know, when we look at the table of duties and with respect to citizens, from 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right." Brent, as you're talking there, you know, I'm trying to imagine how this would be interpreted. You know, the governing authorities or those pushing this agenda would say, you know, you have to punish those who are doing wrong, and you're doing wrong by your homophobic actions, and then commend those who do right. And so when it comes right down to it, it is a matter of, you know, what does this mean? What does the Lord mean by this? And how does he interpret this? Not how does the government interpret what is good and what is wrong? And so it really runs back to the first commandment. It's a first commandment issue. And the truth is, you know, the world in which we live is a sin-fallen world. And, you know, the unbeliever does not worship the one true God, does not believe his word, does not hold it as authoritative.
Right.
So to deceive ourselves into thinking that we can somehow develop some kind of a utopia where we have a Christian government that will rule over the whole world is inconceivable.
Right, right. You've raised a very important point here. These people want to make the state everything. I mean, the state is the end all for everything.
The state is God.
Yes, that's the point. And so every kind of authority then is undermined. Every authority. Human authority is undermined in this. I mean, think about it. Civilization, generally speaking, and authority, earthly authority, has always opposed this. Always, because they know that from creation it hasn't been this way. So it's a total undermining of all previous earthly authority, precedent, if you will. And it also is a total undermining of all divine authority. Now, I want to back up a little bit, and I'm jumping around, but I hope this will be helpful. You remember that in the 1930s, and even before that, the 20s, the 30s, and the 40s in Europe, there was this talk, and I'll use my own terminology here, about a Hebrew disease. A Hebrew disease. And Gene Veith mentions this in his book, Modern Fascism. And so you had Germans who despised what they called the Hebrew disease. Now, it was more than just race. In other words, Hitler and the Third Reich, they opposed Jews for being Jews. It was that, but it was also more than that. And it's this. The Hebrew disease is that these Hebrews, these Jews, believe in a God, some truth, a transcendent being that actually sets some standards, black and white. And we can't have that. We can't push our agenda, which was very similar to today in a lot of ways, I should say. I mean, Americans should start waking up. Read Veith's book, Modern Fascism, and he'll show you, I think very convincingly, that we are reliving the ideas, the presuppositions of things that were going on in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s. Well, I went too far there, 50s, but the 20s, 30s, and 40s in Western Europe. So
anything that swims against the flow of their authority has to be eliminated.
Yes, and there was a theologian in Germany. His name was Hermann Zasse, Lutheran theologian, who died in the 1970s. He saw this coming. I mean, he wrote publicly and he spoke publicly about the Third Reich and what we were just talking about, that he saw that people were believing that the state was absolutely everything. The state was God. Divine.
Yeah.
Now, I want to hook this together because this isn't anything new. I mean, in the Old Testament, you had kings. In the Old Testament, who acted similarly. For example, I'm looking at Jeremiah 36. And Jehoiakim is the king at this time. Now, Jehudi comes and he takes God's word and he starts reading it in front of the king. Now, check out what the king does. This is Jeremiah 36. I'm going to start reading verse 23. Whenever Jehudi had read three of the four columns of the scroll, in other words, God's word, the king cut them off with a scribe's knife, got his pen knife out, and then threw the scriptures into the fire pot until the entire scroll was burned in the fire. I mean, you have the preacher there in front of the king reading the word of God publicly. Imagine that.
Not even putting his own spin on it, by the way. He's simply reading the word of God.
Yeah, you can't even do that in America anymore. Unless, of course, you're somebody special. Yeah, but imagine doing that. We've so outlawed that in America. But nonetheless, let me continue to read. Verse 24. The king and all his attendants who heard all these words showed no fear, nor did they tear their clothes. In other words, they were showing by their actions, by taking the word of God, cutting it and throwing it into the fire, and then no fear, no tearing the clothes. They were showing that I'm in charge here. There is no external transcendent authority that I have to listen to. See, that's what we're dealing with, folks.
There was a Hebrew disease there.
Exactly. Among the Hebrews themselves.
Yeah, right.
So this is nothing new under the sun. But yet at the same time, it's time for us to wake up. So even though we are to obey those in authority, when they contradict the clear word of God, we say no. And whatever means are available, we will continue to say no. And if the earthly authorities want to punish us in some way for it, we will take it. We will simply suffer it, trusting the Lord like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Oh yeah, you want to throw it? Go ahead. We'll go to jail like Peter and John. Or you want to throw us in the fire? Okay.
Yeah, we'll not bend the knee. We'll not bow the head to any other god.
Because people are watching. People are watching us. And if Christianity caves on this issue and others, they'll say, well, if this is Christianity, I don't want any part of it.
Well, and during the break, Brent, we were talking a little bit, and I was just, you know, imagine what much of Christendom will do when these kinds of pressures get ratcheted up, when this homosexual agenda as a civil rights issue really gets cranked up. Many church bodies will simply adopt the language and say, yep, this is a civil right, and this is the loving thing to do, and God is pleased with this. And they'll bend the knee.
And most of them already have.
Right.
When the ELCA gives its blessing for her clergy, both men and women, to be practicing gays and lesbians and never have to repent. Never. And the people then in the pews can be practicing gays and lesbians in disobedience to the word of God. Then there you have it.
So this is not just from out there, from the other kingdom. This is from within the church itself, where Antichrist tends to rule.
That's right. That's right. This is nothing new again. But we need to wake up, as I said. So, all right, we rejoice that the Lord's given us these earthly authorities. And when they do their work faithfully and so forth, we give praise and thanks to God, and we give them honor and we obey them. But if they don't, then we need to take a stand and stand on the word of God.
I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior.
And so pray. Pray for those in authority. See you next time.